Hey, it's Dr. Trek, Larry Nemechek, coming at you straight out of Portal 47. And you're listening to the Shuttle Pod. Oh, I see what you did there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Shuttle Pod. This is episode number 34. Of the Shuttle Pod podcast, and we are recording this on Tuesday, April 11th, 2017. Today we're going to be talking about the latest news items to come out in the world of Star Trek, mostly surrounding the new show Star Trek Discovery, but also some other tidbits that have been happening in the last couple of weeks. And as always, I am your host, Kayla Iacovino, and I'm joined by co-host Jared Whitley.
Hello, Kayla. It's good to be on the podcast with you again. Although I do have to note, it's April 12th.
That's true, because you are on the other side of the world. But for me, it's April 11th. So how is April 12th, by the way?
Well, the shadows are treading pretty still over here, if I can be honest. And so that's pretty good.
Ooh, I think we're going to have to circle back around and hit that one.
Yeah, what could I be portending with that weird poetic language?
Find out at the end of the episode. There's a teaser, so people can stick around and actually listen to us.
That's going to tickle their listening bone. We do have to mention our good friend and colleague Brian is not joining us, but he extends his love and affection for all of you out there in Shuttlepod land.
Definitely. Brian, as you are stuck on the subway in New York, we wish you a good journey.
Well said.
So before we get into the news, I think we wanted to do a quick recap of our last episode with a couple of things that have come up since then.
Yeah. Okay. So our last episode was we listed some of our favorite minor characters from the franchise, and we didn't have quite time to get to all of them. And so we gave a couple clues as to who the one that we had to unfortunately leave off was. So we wanted to read a couple of comments from you, our readers, who had some guesses here. Danny Boy said, fun podcast, keep up the great work. Thank you, Danny Boy. And then his guess for the mystery character was the gambler played by Mark Alamo in Time's Arrow, which I didn't even think about that guy, but he's actually a nice little minor character cameo. He's some kind of French card shark. Would have been Data chats with him in French. Would have been fun to do him, but no, it was not him. And then Guardian019 said, a guess on the character that they did not mention, the Q that gave our Q, John Delancey, his powers back. And then Doug said, with a good choice already picked, was the runner-up Corbin Burnson as the other Q in Deja Q. And these guys were right. That's who it was. It was Corbin Burnson's Q or Q2. He makes just a brief cameo at the end of one of my favorite episodes. The two have magnificent chemistry. Would have loved to see him come back later, maybe in one of the Voyager episodes. But yes, that was the minor character we didn't get to. So congratulations to Guardian019 and to Doug.
I was amazed how quickly people, listeners, figured it out.
Yep, yeah. I was very impressed with these guys who were able to get to that. So A, congratulations to them, and B, thanks to them for listening all the way to the end.
Righto, yeah, thanks everyone. We love hearing feedback from you guys. So it's, as Brian said before, it's nice to know that we're not just speaking into a void and that, people enjoy the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, so we'll try to keep up more of that kind of, for lack of a better term, contest, that kind of interaction as we continue recording new episodes.
So there was quite a flurry of Star Trek Discovery news over the last couple of weeks. One of the biggest news items is a new character that we learned about, a new guest star. It's the first guest star that's been announced for Star Trek Discovery. And that, of course, is Rainn Wilson, who's going to be playing Harry Mudd, reprising the role of Harry Mudd from the original series. And Rainn Wilson, for those of you who don't know him by name, is Dwight from The Office, from the American version of The Office.
I'm sure he would call himself an actor, a producer, a director, and a web personality and all kinds of things. But come on, Rainn, you're Dwight from The Office.
You're Dwight from The Office, yeah. I don't think he would deny the fact that that's basically what sent him into stardom, as it were.
Yeah, and if his book that he came out with a year or two ago, he had one of the writers from The Office write the intro as Dwight. So the intro to his book is by Dwight. So
that's pretty awesome.
He knows where his bread is buttered. Okay, I was delighted to see this, and it was one of those things where I saw it right in the morning when I woke up, and I was scared it was like an April Fool's joke or something, and I was so glad when it wasn't.
Oh, yeah, because it was announced on March 31st.
Yeah.
Which would have been April 1st for you.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the other thing that happened to me is I saw, like, when speaking of April Fool's news, when George Takei said he was going to run for Congress, when I saw that, it was April 2nd. And so I thought, and with the current political climate, who knows what's real and what isn't anymore. And I looked at that and said, oh, this is interesting. George is running for Congress. And my first reaction was, he's a little too old to do that, right? Because typically you get in young and you want to build up seniority, and he wouldn't have time to do that. So, but that was fake news. That was a joke, rather. Whereas Rainn Wilson, this is real. And I think that he is actually a bit of a Trek fan himself, because the Dwight character throughout the years on The Office, I don't know how much you watched it, Kayla, but he made a decent number of nerd references and Star Trek references.
Mm-hmm. Were you? Yeah, and in fact, in the story that we post on Trek Movie, we do have a picture of him throwing up the Vulcan salute from the 2009 Star Trek.
Oh, movie. That's right. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was a good picture. Yeah, but like there's an episode of The Office where they do it's a Christmas episode, and he's dressed up as an elf. And Michael Scott character says, I always say when he wears those ears, he looks like Spock. But he says he has a different pair of ears for that. So and then there's another one where Dwight is trying to conceive a child with Angela, with one of the other characters on the show. And in their kind of like a prenuptial agreement type of thing, he insists he wants to be able to name their son Worf.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So and then he makes references to Battlestar Galactica because that was on at the same time as The Office, and so I think he's got some decent nerd chops, and I'm delighted to see that they cast him as Harry Mudd. I don't know what the genesis of that was, if he called them and said, hey, what can you do for me, or if they put up a list of characters from the original series on one side of a whiteboard and potential guest stars on the other, and they realize, hey, let's draw a line here. Hopefully we get to hear this story at some point at Comic-Con or Star Trek Con. I hope I'm able to see him. And the other thing is, the last Salt Lake City Comic-Con I went to, my niece dressed up as Dwight from The Office, and I dressed up as Michael. And so if Rainn Wilson never comes, of course we're gonna revisit these costumes. But now she'll dress up as Dwight, and I'll dress up as Harry. So,
oh, that's fantastic.
Something to look forward to.
That's a good new couple's costume idea.
Exactly. I'm sure it's never been done before, or maybe it has.
And you know what? I think a lot of people, the reaction was sort of mixed to this news. I think a lot of people were like, oh, I don't know about Harry Mudd. You know, do we need to be bringing, like, people are worried that they're gonna bring too many things. I think make too many references and callbacks to previous Star Treks and just sort of rely on that. And I think definitely they want to do that a bit because that helps sell the show. But, you know, for me, I think, you know, like it or hate it, the idea of Harry Mudd being in Discovery, you've got to admit that it's some pretty darn good casting.
Oh, beautiful.
I mean, if you look at the picture that the header picture that we have up on the announcement article, the news article on the website, it's just like seeing the two of them next to each other. It's like, you know, he was born to play this role, I think. So in terms of the way he looks, you know, and his personality too, he's got the comedy gene. So I definitely think he could carry the role of Harry Mudd like pretty well.
Yeah.
I think that was expertly cast.
Yeah. And if he's a little younger, then it'll be before a time when Harry gained some of the weight, perhaps he did. So Rain doesn't have to quote unquote bulk up for this.
Right. I think the way that they use his character is going to be really important. I think a lot of the people who are saying, oh, this is horrible, we don't want to see, you know, stuff, old callbacks to the old show. I'm hopeful that those people who have a negative reaction to this will, you know, depending on how it's used, maybe come around to the idea of doing some callbacks.
See, the thing is, callbacks can be done. And we could go into a whole episode about Star Trek callbacks. They can be done well and tastefully, or they can hit you over the head with it. And
right.
you know, I mean, like in the first, you know, in the first new Trek movie, they had to make a lot of callbacks, right? But as it went on, they needed to be more discreet with it. And I think in Star Trek Beyond, they did the right number of callbacks where they kind of phased them out gradually. So maybe at the beginning, they need to lean on it more. But I think it's gonna be okay. The thing I hope, now that you know I'm thinking about it and mentioning Angela from The Office, I hope they get the actress who played her to come back and play Stella Mudd. That would be delightful.
That would be pretty, she would actually be pretty good.
She Stella would. Mudd. Yeah, and she can do that severity really well, you know, with Stella like mm-hmm. chewing Harry out. So mm-hmm. so people, if that's not on your whiteboard of minor characters and guest stars, put it up there.
Because obviously, you know, the creators are all listening
intently,
you know, waiting with
Kayla.
Bated breath for the next Shuttle Pod episode.
As bated as a breath can possibly be. Now, Kayla. Now, I believe there's another guest star who is not set to appear on Star Trek Discovery. Do we want to talk about this a little bit?
I think we definitely want to talk about this a little bit. And now this is our first peek. This is an exciting moment, guys, because this is our first piece of Star Trek fake news. From Star Trek Discovery. I mean, there have been rumors in the past, but they're always sort of couched as rumors. This time, a story came out that, in no uncertain terms, reported that Michael Dorn would be appearing in the pilot episode for Discovery. So it's very specific. And this, the report said that he had said this specific fact at an event that he was attending. It was an evening with Michael Dorn, I believe is the name of the event. They posted a story. We saw this and of course wanted to look into it. We didn't see any quotes from Michael Dorn. It was just some words in the story indicating that he had said this. And so we reached out to Michael Dorn and we reached out to his publicist and we spoke to other people who were at the event. All of them confirmed that Michael Dorn did not say he was going to be in the new show. In fact, he went to great lengths to explain that while he was approached about a year ago about the possibility of doing some kind of a role in Discovery, that they could never come to terms in terms of making an agreement in terms of the money. So that is the actual quote. So as you know, the information we have from Mr. Dorn and his publicist say that there are no plans currently for Michael Dorn to appear in Discovery.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're setting the record straight is what you're telling me.
So we are setting the record straight. We are able to post a story. The headline is no, Michael Dorn is not set to appear in Star Trek Discovery. And even though we had the story out, the fake news is still spreading like wildfire. Cause I think, people, you know, some people like this idea and those who do are, you know, not checking into it as much, which, you know, that happens with any rumor.
Sure.
It's just unfortunate that this one wasn't couched as a rumor. It was reported as fact.
So. Yeah. The other thing, though, is Michael Dorn had that campaign to try to get the new Star Trek series made about Worf. And so that's why
right.
I think it was in people's mind a little bit more.
Yeah, well, there's been the hashtag We Want Worf campaign.
Yes,
and,
which has been used by Michael Dorn, and I think that's it.
It has, yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's kind of true. There's a group of people online who are really excited about it, and Michael Dorn himself also, right, has been backing this We Want Worf thing, which is why I was surprised when I'm reading that the reason he's not on Discovery is not that he wasn't offered it, but, you know, according to him, it's that they didn't want to pay him enough money.
Yeah,
so I guess he said that they offered him less than 1% of what he made in his last contract when the last time he played Worf.
Okay, now if the last time he played Worf, if he's referring to a feature film, right? Then yeah, you're not going to make as much money on a TV show as on a feature film. That's just one.
It's not clear whether he, from the quotes that we have from the event, it's not clear whether he meant, you know, the end of TNG or
the end of DS9
or the end of DS9. That's right. That's probably more likely. Or Nemesis, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing is just this is bad publicity here. Right. I mean, what he needs to say is, of course, you know, I've had a long association with Star Trek. I've appeared in more episodes of Star Trek than anyone else. I'd be delighted to lengthen my record. We'll see what happens. Right. And you just leave it vague.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you start.
I think that would have been a much more diplomatic answer.
Yeah, you know, Kayla, I can't understand how people who, you know, get jobs like this to be Michael Dorn's publicists who aren't as smart as you and me, and it bugs me. So, Mr. Dorn, if you're looking for a new publicist, tweet us at Trek Movie.
Call us.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, I don't know. If he had a cameo, that'd be great, because I know there are Klingons in it, but if he doesn't, then that's okay, too.
Yeah, I kind of agree. It's neither here nor there for me.
Yeah. Now, so are there Klingon royalty in Discovery? Do we know that? Are there going to be, like, actual kings on Discovery, or is that kind of metaphorical? Because I know one of the other items we want to talk about is we have some tweeting between mm-hmm. some of the Discovery stars, to segue gracefully into the next one, where Aaron Harberts, tweeted at Chris Obi, calling him the King of Klingons. Is he the King of Klingons?
So it's a good segue, because that was our other, like, that wasn't quite fake news, but a lot of people were apparently very confused by this tweet that was calling Chris Obi the King of Klingons. Even though it was made pretty clear both on Twitter and in our article, we even wrote specifically, you know, that this was a joke. For some reason, you know, Trekkies, they love to be outraged on the internet. And so as soon as they saw the tweet that said, Chris Obi is the King of Klingons, they started retweeting, this is a disaster. The Klingons don't have kings. What are you thinking? DSC is going to be a disaster.
Yeah, Klingon.
But no, it's okay. It's okay. It's not this. It was a joke. It was a metaphor.
Also, there's what do you call it? So a rhyme scheme there, King, Klingon, it kind of rhymes with each other. Sight rhyme, I think it's called. So it's okay to make little jokes, guys.
And by the way, just for those of you who don't know who we're talking about, Aaron Harberts is one of the Discovery showrunners who has been spending some time in Toronto, you know, working on the show. And Chris Obi is one of the actors who's playing T'Kuvma, who is currently billed as a, quote, top leader of the Klingon forces. And so the tweet from Aaron was within a series of tweets where he started saying, you know, goodbye, Toronto, I'm leaving for now, indicating that he had finished his role, at least in this part of the filming, was heading back to L.A. And he simply tweeted, you know, also cannot forget our dear, and then he mentioned Chris Obi, the King of the Klingons, hashtag Star Trek Discovery. So, you know, and then Chris Obi released a video, which was, you know, clearly riffing on that joke. And he's in, and I don't know if you've watched, for those of you who haven't seen Chris Obi's videos, you have to go watch them, because he is one of the most animated people I've ever seen. And his videos consist of him, like, doing a selfie video in a car.
Yeah.
And basically just confusing everyone else in the car. And it's him and this guy Dave who are always in the car together, and it's just him, like, yelling at the phone about whatever is on his mind. So he's basically just like, you know, hey, I guess I'm the King of the Klingons now. That sounds great. And it's just him going on and on and saying how he loves this new title. And then he even teased, apparently one of the fans tweeted at him saying, oh, maybe you're a chancellor. And he said, oh, yeah, maybe I'm the chancellor, I guess, is what the fans are telling me, or something like that. So.
He's got a good social media presence.
He does. I can't wait to see him. I mean, seeing his, like, you know, really fun personality in these little videos, I can't wait to see what he's like as a Klingon. I think he's got a lot of energy, that guy, a lot of presence.
Yeah, hopefully he's like a Klingon with a sense of humor, right? Like, as a sort of a different take. Because, like, just being gruff and growling, you know, that doesn't take a lot of creativity. But to be funny would be good. In fact, there's an episode, Redemption Part 1, where Guinan and Worf are in the shooting range. And Worf's like, warriors do not laugh, and all this kind of stuff. And she says, yes, they do. I've heard Klingon belly laughs that'll curl your hair. You don't laugh. And so that would be a good way to make this guy different than Worf would be to make him be a jokey Klingon.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be great, actually. And, you know, because there have been some standout Klingon characters, I think, and they are the ones that break the mold a bit.
Sure.
Like Gowron comes to mind.
Yeah.
He's not jokey necessarily, but he's got a spunk.
Yeah. The thing with him was, He's not trying to be like the toughest and the growliest. He's just got those creepy eyes, right?
The Gowron eyes.
Very clever.
So what else? There's been some other, I mean, I don't even want to call it news. It's just little bits and pieces that have basically been coming off of Twitter. Because this production has been so tightly under wraps. It's amazing how little is coming out about the show.
Very good control here that they've got.
Yeah, although, I mean, sometimes I'm just thinking, you know, you guys can release something. It's okay. You know, it doesn't have to be, everything doesn't have to be, you know, Fort Knox in terms of keeping all the secrets in. But whatever. So, but you can see there seems to be some, you know, tension because people are even tweeting, people from this who are involved with the show are tweeting, you know, oh, we're not allowed to say anything. But, you know, in fact, there were some pictures of green screen and things like that that had been tweeted at one point that then were taken down. So it's kind of shocking how much they are keeping a lid on all of this. When there's like pictures of green screen that literally revealed nothing, and that's like making them worry. So
yeah, that's sort of in a, they have a fine line to walk where they do need to be cognizant of the fact that, like you point out, that Star Trek fans will jump on and complain about the slightest thing if it doesn't fit with their vision of what the universe should be, and then they can't maybe release too much until they're ready to, and then they also need to keep people interested and show them and the more news they share, the more confidence we have that it's actually going to happen, right? Because there was always a little part of me when the news of this started to trickle in that said, okay, until I see pictures, I don't really believe it.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, it's, well, we should move on. But
Let's move on. Sorry. Anyway, but let's talk about, we did, one bit of news is we got the name of our main character.
We did, and it's not the name that we thought. So this is, of course, we're talking about Sonequa Martin-Green, who's famous for her role in The Walking Dead. Yeah. And we've known for some time that she was going to be the lead, of the show, but, we had previously thought that her name was going to be Rainsford. And then on April 3rd, an official announcement came out that she was officially going to be with the show, because previously it was just from reports in the trades that she was affiliated with the show. But it wasn't until a few, you know, last week that she was actually officially announced and that her name is going to be Michael Burnham.
Michael Burnham.
Yep, Lieutenant Commander
Burnham. And she's the first officer.
She is the first officer, yep. And so it's you know, one of my most things that I'm most excited about is the fact that it's going to be a first officer who's going to be the star of the show instead of the captain.
And you know, one of these days we're going to do like a wish list for Voyager, and the thing that always been at the top of my wish list is the show can't be about the captain. They need to do something different. So this is good.
So that news officially came out, and it also, you know, of note is everyone was kind of wondering why it took so long for her to be officially announced, because we've known for a long time that it was Sonequa Martin-Green was going to be in this role. And apparently they didn't want to release this information until, spoiler alert for those of you who watched The Walking Dead, until her character was killed off on The Walking Dead. So after they aired the episode where her character died, then they made the official announcement. And they did make clear, at least Sonequa Martin-Green in interviews set up by AMC, made clear that, you know, the reason that they waited is because of this, and because her role in Discovery was not what caused the death of her character on The Walking Dead. They only chose her to be in Discovery after they knew that she was going to be killed off in The Walking Dead.
So. Okay. Yeah. You need to be respectful of actors' schedules.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think people were thinking that they only killed her off because she was leaving to go do this other show.
But in fact,
no, she only signed on to do Star Trek when they had already written her character's death, basically. So, or when they knew they were going to be writing it, at least.
Do you watch The Walking Dead, Kayla? Has that show ever been on your radar?
It has. You know, I don't keep up with it.
Yeah.
To be honest, I kind of lost interest in it a couple seasons ago.
Yeah.
I like it, but I think it's getting a little long in the tooth.
Yeah, I can't believe that it's still around and that it's still as popular as it is. But, and I want to say, and I'm going to tie this into this other thing I'm going to mention. I think it's really good casting to get someone from that show because it broadens the appeal. And I also
That's true.
think it's really good to that they have Jason Isaacs as the captain, who of course played, and this is a little older news now, but who has been cast to play the captain on Discovery because he's from the Harry Potter universe. And so we're taking literally two of the most, and we always talk about this, we'll talk about it a little bit more later, about how it's sort of there's Trek fandom, which is separate from the larger, what has now become mainstream geek fandom. And so to get someone from Walking Dead and Harry Potter, I think is really good to try to bridge that gap.
Yeah,
'Cause
for sure.
those two are huge.
I think a lot of people who are fans of The Walking Dead are gonna because her character was killed off and then immediately she's gonna be on this new show. I think they're definitely gonna follow her over.
Hopefully. Hopefully, because that could really help the viewership. And last time I was on a plane, I rewatched a couple of the Harry Potter movies because I wanted to reacquaint myself with Jason Isaacs. I think he's going to be a good captain.
Nice.
Yeah. So, good things are happening. Okay, but we do need to say this one thing, this thing that Sonequa Martin-Green said, which this is the first time I had to roll my eyes and kind of grit my teeth and whatever other cliche about Discovery, where I started to have some concerns. Do you know what quote this is? Maybe we mentioned this before, but this I didn't like this when I read it. You know what I'm
Okay,
talking?
go ahead.
Okay, she said, "This iteration of Star Trek is going to have a different take than the others in the Star Trek canon. It's going to be bigger, rawer, and grittier." And I read that and I'm like, oh, good heavens. I don't need Star Trek to be raw and gritty. I mean, am I overreacting? Am I one of those nerds on the internet? Because this, I don't like. I mean, even Deep Space Nine, for being a dark one, wasn't really dark. It was certainly not, quote, raw and gritty. We don't need raw grittiness. People don't, I don't know. People don't like, at least I don't like, tortured superheroes where there's no color on screen and it's always raining on them and they can't crack a smile. I want to see bright, happy people having cool adventures and learning things about humanity and being positive and ending with a joke about the silly android who doesn't get humanity or whatever, right?
Yeah,
I don't.
you don't want Batman versus Superman,
Yes,
basically.
exactly. Thank you for reading between the lines there. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I think it's hard to get too upset about it because what does it mean? What is
Sure.
her definition of big, raw, and gritty?
Yeah.
On the one hand, if you have more raw experiences, you can certainly, if the lows are more deeply low, then the highs can be more, exceptionally high.
Sure.
So,
Okay. Yeah.
it could mean like we're having more strong emotional moments. It could mean that when she says bigger, it could mean, the scope of the universe is bigger or the stakes are higher.
Yeah. Well,
You
bigger's
know, who
fine.
knows?
Bigger's fine. I like the bigger, and then I also like she said in the quote, the story's going to build on itself. It's going to be a tremendous journey. And so being more episodic, the way TV shows have developed is not episodic, being more serialized
More,
and having an
yeah.
ongoing story rather than being more episodic. Okay, that's that kind of evolution I like. But
Yeah, I agree.
we don't need we don't need it to be Discovery into Darkness, right?
No, we don't. But I think there's something to be said for flawed characters.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah, that's different. Yeah, that's different. But
So if it's something like that, I'm all for it. But I think it I don't know. I think it does have to be a bit of a soft touch. I'm sort of with you because Star Trek has always been, the Boy Scout of a Boy Scout of a franchise. So, just like Superman is a big Boy Scout in tights who
Yep.
flies around saving people, like saving cats out of trees and stuff like that.
And
And so to put
with a
him,
smile on his face.
yeah. And so to put him in like the latest Superman movies where he kills a guy at one point and it's
Yeah.
just super dark and it's not the Superman. It's not speaking to his roots. And so
No.
yeah, I agree with you. I don't want Star Trek Discovery to fall into that same trap because
Yeah.
I believe that, well, there's a lot of reasons, but I believe one of the big reasons that the Superman movies haven't been that successful is that they're not Superman movies.
No, they're not. They're not.
So
Yeah.
Yeah, I see your point. I don't know. I'll wait and see. I'm still optimistic.
It could also just be that's the kind of thing you say. Like, it's just a publicity thing.
Yeah. It's bigger. It's rawer.
Yeah.
It's emotional. It's going to be tremendous. Yeah.
It's darker, right? It's like Empire Strikes Back. You know, and like Empire is like the pattern for going dark. And I look at it and say, you guys realize that Empire Strikes Back, the main heart of that movie, is a puppet teaching a guy about how to not be violent, right? That's the main thing of Empire Strikes Back. And the last 30 years of fandom has said, no, we need to go dark, so it's like Empire. Anyway.
Yeah, it's like, have you ever seen the film?
Yeah, do you understand what you're talking about? Anyway, okay, all right. Well, I won't harp on that, but it did. I felt compelled to harp on that. Having already
No, I think it's worth bringing up because, to be honest, yeah. It's one of the, like I said, this production's been so under wraps. This is one of the only quotes we've gotten from the actors about the show that is anything of substance, of any kind of substance. And in fact, I think she said this in an interview that was. It was either on the I don't know if it was on The Talking Dead, but I'm pretty sure it was on an interview that was supplied by AMC, not by Star Trek, but by Walking Dead. So.
Okay. Yeah, and if she's trying to grab Walking Dead fans, that is the right thing to say to sort of tickle their interest.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, there will be zombies. Just kidding.
I love the scene in First Contact where Lily refers to the Borg as cyborg zombies.
Totally. So well, there was one more piece of Star Trek Discovery news, and this is about Anthony Rapp, who is another actor cast in Star Trek Discovery who's going to be playing Star Trek's first televised gay character.
Yes, and we have a delightful picture of him on our article about this, where he's wearing a baseball cap with a nice smile on his face. Because he's cheerful. He's not raw and gritty. Anyway, sorry.
He does look exceptionally adorable in that
Yes,
photo.
He does. It's a great photo. Anyway, I apologize for interrupting.
Not at all. Yeah, so we talked about, what it means to be the first, the first gay character on a Star Trek TV show. Of course, Sulu has been sort of retconned to be gay, at least in the... in the Kelvin universe, in Star Trek Beyond, we see that, he has a partner and a daughter. But, Anthony Rapp's character will be, Lieutenant Stamets will be the first, established from the get-go gay character.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a science officer on the Discovery. And he said about playing a gay character, he said, I'm honored. I'm also honored to be a part of a piece of work that's part of the cultural pantheon. It's kind of crazy that I get to be part of something that means so much to so many people. It meant a lot to me, too. I'm thrilled and I'm honored to be the vehicle for this aspect of the story that's being told.
He's also breaking new ground as the first ever astromycologist in Star Trek.
It's true, which is, for those of you who don't know, because of course you should know what that word means, astromycologist is a fungus expert. Although I guess it's an extraterrestrial fungus expert.
Yeah, people, write that down. If you do pub trivia the way I do, that is going to be a question one day, and you need to know astromycology is the study of fungus.
There you go. So who knows what crazy fungi they'll run into. Oh my gosh, do you think they're going to do a fungi joke?
No, they have to. He is a very fun guy.
Especially because he's gay? Maybe he'll be like...
Yeah, he'll be a fun gay.
Or they'll be like, you should go chat up that guy over there at the end of the bar. I bet he's a fun guy.
There we go. Ah, yeah, perfect.
Okay, again, writers of Discovery, if you're listening, get in touch.
Yeah. And those who are listening and taking notes, be sure to send your notes to those who maybe aren't able to listen with you right now.
And maybe, and this is the point, Jared, I think where we need to point out to the Trekkies out there, we're joking.
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. Now, the other thing I wanted to say while we're talking about this is Monique Pancholi. We haven't heard a lot about his character, but mm-hmm. the actor himself, he's gay too. So they have two gay actors on the show. But Monique Pancholi is also the first, and this is kind of older news that he's on. He's the first, I guess you'd call it, subcontinental Asian and soon to have a major role in Star Trek. So, you know, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, that area of the world has not been particularly represented in Star Trek. And a lot of that is because, you know, if you're an Indian actor, you don't necessarily come to Hollywood because the Indian film studios, Bollywood and otherwise, are so thriving that you kind of just, that's where you go, right? There are plenty of big Indian stars. They're just not in Hollywood. And I remember seeing a fan theory for why there are, to try to explain why there are so few subcontinental Asians in Star Trek, because of course they represent an enormous percentage of the world's population right now. And they said Khan was Indian, and he, you know, the eugenics war mostly happened in that part of war, the world, and so there was a massive depopulation right through the war and you know, consequences of that. And so there, in the Star Trek universe, there are not as many Indians and Pakistanis and whoever to join Starfleet as there might be otherwise. Of course, the eugenics war never happened, and it's okay to have Indian people in Starfleet. So I'm excited to see that as well. Also, the part of the world that I live in right now, like the city is about two-thirds Indians, Pakistanis, and Bangladeshis. So it would be, it's weird for me to not see a lot of people who look like Minik Pancholi. So I'm excited about that too.
Awesome.
Yeah. Had you ever heard that, the con theory, to try to explain that
I
away?
hadn't I kind of like it. I like that. I mean, you know, it's a horrible story, but it fits.
Yes, it's grim, but it's a theory that fits the facts.
You know, I think this might be an interesting segue into another thing that we wanted to touch on because, Jared, you were recently at the Dubai Comic Con.
I was, yes. Yeah, for those who don't know, I live in Dubai for the time being. Excuse me. So I'm on the other side of the world as most of our listeners and readers. And I really, I mean, I'm Kayla, and I've said this to you before as we've been at these. I've been to so many conventions, board game conventions, Star Trek conventions, Comic Cons, whatever, that it's kind of weird. It's kind of difficult for me to go to something and see something new, right? And but I really wanted to go to see what the Middle East Film and Comic Con was going to be like, which was last weekend. And it's delightful how similar it is, and it's delightful how different it is. Like, and I didn't want to take a picture of her, this one person I met from Kuwait, but you know, she had the headscarf and dressed very modestly, and then she had a T-shirt with Princess Peach from the Mario universe, made to look like Rosie the Riveter, saying, "I can save myself." And it's like, so here we have this Muslim woman from Kuwait wearing a symbol from a Japanese video game made to look like an American icon. And I'm like,
That's
this
fantastic.
is globalization right here. This is the
Right?
one of the positive effects of globalization right here.
Yes.
So that was, I should have asked her if I could have taken a picture, but that was delightful. And something that's interesting for me to see at any con I go to is how the Star Trek presence is there versus sort of other fandoms. I was a little disappointed I didn't see anybody dressed up as Star Trek characters. You know, I saw some Deadpools, of course, and video game characters and anime characters who I don't recognize. But the thing is, even though I didn't see any Star Trek characters, all the staff, they all had shirts that said, it's they're black shirts that said "organizer" in the back, so you know if you needed help. And then below their organizer, it said "make it so," right? And then,
Hey.
yeah, where did they get that? And then the volunteers, they had red shirts that said "to boldly go where no volunteer has gone before."
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, and the text for both of these was in the and I looked it up, the Kralee italic font used for the TNG titles. So even though there weren't people dressed up like Star Trek, all of the organizers were. So I thought that was cool.
That's very cool. So there is some, you know, it's popular enough in a place like Dubai that, you
Yeah.
know, they would put the joke on a shirt. That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. And then Greg Grunberg was there, who is a good friend of J.J. Abrams and who appeared in Star Trek Beyond as Finnegan. And he was very charming. It was fun to listen to him. I'd never heard him before, and I never watched Heroes, so I don't. I guess that's the show he was the most famous from. But he had a notable presence both in Beyond and then in Star Wars: The Force Awakens, where he plays a an X-Wing pilot, which is, of course, the Star Wars equivalent of a red shirt. And he had this great anecdote where they tried to get him to record lines saying, "I've been hit. I'm going down. Tell my wife goodbye," you know, that kind of stuff. And he refused to say those lines. And his character lived. And he, you know, if they'd had that, you know, they would have been able to kill him easily. So this is a guy who knows how the industry works, and I admire that.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. So I didn't necessarily. He wasn't on my radar, and so when I was looking through the pamphlet, I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta go. I gotta write a story about this guy. And then also, and this was the coolest thing, they had the captain's chair there from Star Trek Beyond, and people could take their pictures there, and it was for free, because a lot of this kind of thing, they'll say, yeah, you can do this, but we'll charge you for it. And so yeah. I appreciated that.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was fun. I'm glad I was able to go.
Yeah, well, and for, you know, for those of you who want to learn more about it, there's a write-up on our website, so check that out. Very cool to see how far the Trek culture and, you know, the ideas of Star Trek and the fans of Star Trek extend, and they're pretty global, I think.
Yeah, and they'll only, and a year from now after Discovery, how much stronger will the presence be?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, speaking of new Trek, JJ Trek, Kelvin Universe Trek.
Yes.
There's kind of been some non-news about that. So all we're hearing so far, you know, everyone's kind of waiting to hear, is there going to be a fourth film? There was so much chatter about it, and then it, you know, no one's quite sure what's going to happen. But what we do know is that Chris Pine doesn't know what's happening with any Star Trek IV movie. So he came out a couple of times recently saying, you know, basically, that he's a little frustrated that they haven't told him what they're going to do, whether they're going to make a movie or not. Because when you're a huge star like Chris Pine, that, you know, these actors have to book their schedules
years ahead of time. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting that they still haven't, you know, apparently made it clear to him that this is going forward. So we really still don't know if there's going to be a fourth.
Yeah. It's also a thing where he is playing the love interest in the Wonder Woman movie,
uh-huh.
Right? And if that, and then the Justice League movie, I think, is later this year too. And I'm not sure if he's going to be in that. But if that takes off, then if he has a competing and potentially more profitable franchise, it could be very difficult to get him back for a fourth one.
Yeah, and apparently he plays a pretty major role in the Wonder Woman film.
Sure, yeah, because so much of it takes place in World War One or wherever, where his character is from. Mm-hmm. And then there'd also been rumors that Chris Hemsworth, who played his dad in 2009, that they might bring him back for the fourth one. I don't know if that would actually happen, but then that would be kind of cool to have a guy from the DC universe and a guy from the Marvel universe together.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Franchise love.
We'll see what happens. Okay, do we wanna talk about Star Trek Continues?
Yes. So, ding ding, this is the word of the episode. This is the magic phrase, the phrase that pays.
Yeah.
If anyone were to guess what Jared was talking about in the beginning of the podcast today, it was the title for the latest Star Trek Continues episode, which just came out.
Mm. Still Treads the Shadow. I love that name. That is. You know, that's like up there with For the World is Hollow and I Have Touched the Sky and Requiem for
Yes.
Methuselah and Return of the Archons. I love that title. We didn't know exactly what it was, so we had to do a little sleuthing. I saw it and I thought, oh, it's got to be from the Bible or from Shakespeare, but it actually isn't. We were looking at this right before we started recording. It's from The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, which is a poem by Samuel Taylor Coleridge, which is most famous. The reference from The Rime of the Ancient Mariner that's most famous is about the albatross, where they see the albatross and it's like an omen of bad luck. But this is a great title for Star Trek because, you know, it's Navy themed. It's about, you know, a poem from a sailing ship from years past. And so I'm sure when they stumbled on this, like, this would be the greatest title ever. So congratulations for them for doing that.
Yeah, and for, you know, so the whole stanza from the poem that mentions this is, with sloping masts and stipping prow, as who pursued with yell and blow, still treads the shadow of his foe. So.
Yeah, great. That is some good poetry right there.
That is some good poetry right there. It's enigmatic. and emotional. So I have not seen this episode yet. It just came out recently. I just have been so busy. I haven't been able to watch it yet. But yeah, it is the next thing I watch will be the next Star Trek Continues episode.
Yeah, it's in my watch later for on YouTube as well. That's why I need to get to this.
And then, you know, we'll have a review up, I'm sure, of the latest episode. So very exciting stuff. And they have only a couple more to go until
I know. Makes me so sad. I talked to Vic last year about this. I interviewed him for an article. And he was very melancholy because he knows he can't go on forever. You can tell he's just adoring this. And he's so good at it.
Yeah, he is. He is.
I mean, everybody who's involved. I mean, they've got James Doohan's son, for goodness sake, playing Scotty. Mm-hmm. You can't beat that with a stick, Kayla.
Well, was there any other newsy bits?
Nichelle Nichols, Armin Shimerman, and Whoopi Goldberg have all been nominated for Daytime Emmys.
Hooray, good luck to them all.
Yeah. These guys are all delightful. Whoopi Goldberg, she appeared at the Vegas convention last year and was easily the highlight. She was terrific.
She was great.
Every story she had to share was fun and exciting, and she invited some fans who were dressed up like Guinan up. So if you ever see her again, if you have a chance to see her in person at a Star Trek convention, jump on that.
Worth it.
Armin Shimerman is great too. He has this interesting thing where Star Trek talks about overcoming prejudice and all that kind of stuff, but yet the character he played, the Ferengi, they were always very comfortable being prejudiced toward the Ferengi. In fact, there's a scene in the first episode of Voyager where Quark is trying to swindle Harry Kim, and Quark plays in that. He's like, oh, you Federation types are all open-minded, but you're mean to the Ferengi. You know, they probably warn you about us at the Academy. You know, whatever. He convinces Harry to buy some trinket he doesn't need. And then Tom Paris comes and saves Harry and says, didn't they warn you about Ferengi at the Academy? And so it's like Quark is making fun of Star Trek, supposed to be more tolerant, and then like they make a joke about being intolerant, and like one time at a convention I saw Armin Shimerman talking about how appearancism is something that they've never really overcome on Star Trek. And if you think about it, like the Ferengi are short and ugly, and so it's okay to be prejudiced against them. And you know, I read a book by Armin Shimerman once. It's called The 34th Rule, where he writes it, you know, basically from Quark's perspective and dealing with some of the things that I'm sure he kind of grit his teeth on with stuff they did with the Ferengi race and with his character. So he's a really interesting guy, really thoughtful. I mean, if there's anyone from Star Trek I could take a drive with from St. Louis to Chicago and just have that time with him, I think it would probably be Armin Shimerman. So congratulations to him. I didn't mean to go off on that tangent, but he's just a guy I've always admired.
No, great story. And my only story about Armin Shimerman is that one time I got his autograph and he wrote "Ears to You." I thought that was awesome.
That's cool. Cool. And then of course Nichelle, she's the embodiment of grace. She just has this aura about her. She's so sweet, and I'm delighted to see her on. I mean, I don't really watch Young and the Restless, but I'm glad to know she's on it, and I'm glad that she get nominated for an Emmy, and I hope she wins.
Yeah, still going strong. And she mentioned as well that she would totally be up for a cameo in Discovery. So again, not that she was offered one, and not that she's going to be in the pilot, much like Mr. Dorn, but that she would totally be in it, unlike Mr. Dorn, apparently.
Well, maybe the two of them could appear in some capacity together, because the two have good chemistry. If you see them on stage together.
Yeah, they do.
Well, I guess that's it. Those are the news items. I don't think we missed anything.
Yeah, I think there's actually been, considering how wrapped up this production has been, it's a good number of little newsy bits that have come out in the last couple of weeks. It's been really fun to watch these little things trickling out. I'm just clamoring for more, but hopefully we'll get some more soon.
Yep, and as you know, the best place to get these news items online is trekmovie.com. So thanks everyone for your loyal readership, listenership, and followership on social media, and we will keep you up to date with everything. Kayla, do you have anything else?
That's it for me.
Okay, I have a Trek anecdote I want to share.
Oh, go for it.
Okay, and also, you know, I this is the kind of thing where I pay attention to these so much more, and sometimes I think I go out of my way to force Trek anecdotes into my life so I have them to share on the podcast. But if you guys have any, feel free to share them in the comment section. We would love the comments on the ShuttlePod. We love the feedback, and we'll try to read them in future episodes. But this one, I have a classmate. I'm in a graduate program right now who is feeling a little – he's struggling academically, and he said to me the other day, you know, Jared, I'm used to if you work hard, you succeed. If you don't work hard, you don't succeed. But right now I'm working really hard and I'm not doing very well, and it's kind of a struggle. And I thought to myself, I'm going to cheer this guy up with a quote from Captain Picard. And I don't know if you know which quote I might – if you can read my mind what quote it was, Kayla. But I quoted to him a line he gives to Data in the episode Peak Performance. And I said to him, you know, it's possible to make no mistakes and still lose. That's not failure. That's life. And he's like, wow, that's so wise. Thank you so
that's
much.
So
that makes
cool.
me feel better.
I love it.
And I'm like, yeah, I came up with it all myself, Mirza, no problem. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. What would Picard do?
Exactly. Exactly. What WWJLPD.
Yep.
All right. So I was happy to share that. Yeah.
Fantastic Trek anecdote, as always. I really like that one. I love when you can use the wisdom of Star Trek and insert that. Pass it off as your own wisdom.
Yes.
In the real world.
That's what life is all about, is copying and pasting and not getting caught for it.
All right. Well, with that, until next time, we will see you guys on the next episode of the ShuttlePod.
Yep. Hopefully our friend Brian will be back, and he won't be stuck in that subway for the next 2 weeks.
Indeed.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Bye, everyone.